We are, I decided we need some remedial stuff before we study Leo.
I'm going to title this Bible study, Remedial Stuff.
Remedial Stuff.
We won't need that. We read, well, let's go to Revelation 5 where we read it, so we're going to say what we read last week. Revelation 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat in the throne a book written within him on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither the book to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book therein, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, which had seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent forth to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto him and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts and said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Now, what if you look that book that had the seven seals on it, it says, it doesn't say book, it says scroll. It's a scroll with seven seals, and those seven seals are the seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets are the seven plagues. And the seven plagues are, I mean, it's the plagues and the seals and the trumpets are all one thing. And they're one thing when Daniel looked upon just seeing parts of the writing, he fell down as dead, and when John saw what was on it, he wept severely because it was nothing on them but woe and mourning. Now, the principal damage comes from the seven plagues. Now, why seven plagues? And if those of you that have been here a while should know this, but if you don't, I'll forgive you. There were 10 plagues in the initial plagues.
Okay, I can say.
Don't say it now. It's too late. You lost your blessing.
Well, I was writing.
Well, that's your tough luck. What are you laughing at?
You walk on water, my brother.
There we go again.
Because everybody knows how much of a butthead you can be.
Who wants to hear Pete's version?
I do.
That's too late.
There were 10 plagues on the plagues that preceded the Exodus from Egypt. What was the purpose of those plagues? But what do you just remember from popular culture?
Well, was it to discount all their gods?
Right. But why was he interested in discounting the gods of Egypt?
They adopted them.
Because they had adopted them. His people had adopted the gods of Egypt. So Ezekiel 20 says, in fact, that's why the plagues came, is because God's people had adopted the plagues, the same idols that the Gentiles had. Does that sound familiar? Now, there were 10 plagues. Only 3 of them were upon Israel. Which 3?
Blood, frogs, and flies.
Right.
Wait, say that again?
There were 10 plagues, and we'll look at those plagues in a second. And only the first 3 were on Israel. Israel was exempt from the 7 plagues. So those 7 plagues that were on all of Egypt are now the 7 plagues that are on all the world. And the only way you can understand the 7 plagues in Book of Revelation is to understand the remaining 7 plagues that are in the Book of Exodus.
Only did you or somebody hit the timer on power.
So that's our remedial lesson tonight, is to learn what those plagues are of Egypt. Now, why what does this have to do with Revelation?
Well, what you just said, right? Because that's how we know what these 7 plagues are.
Right. But the point is that the apostate church has adopted all of the plagues. I mean, all of the idols of Egypt, and 1,000 more. We've adopted the value systems of whatever culture you're in, and you think, and you put God's name on them. And so, the question now is, will God's people be exempt from any of these remaining 7 plagues? Or will we have to go through those 7 plagues also? And as if you've been here very long, you know that I teach that the plagues are always going on. And they're going on at different intensities, at different intervals, because the plagues, that's the only thing that ever drives anybody to true repentance, are the plagues. So the first plague is the River of Nile, and all the water that came from the River of Nile in Egypt was turned into blood. Now, that included all the water in Egypt, and all the water in their water pots, and all of their irrigation, because the Nile was the only source of water for all of the world. Now, what?
Well, just listen. And obviously, the first one is water.
No, the first one is blood. Now, blood comes from Adam. The word for blood is dam in Hebrew, to be red. One of the main gods of the Nile was Hapi, H-A-P-I, which is our happiness. No, it's not, but I just thought that was funny. You got a universal god, everybody wants to be happy. Now, the Nile divided honors with Ra, the sun god in the early times, called the father of life and the father of gods. Now, the reason that it's so hard to talk about the It's hard to talk about the plagues in terms of making them mean something universal, especially these first few, because each of our individual plagues, idolatry is different, so we haven't accepted the same idols. But everybody has an idol of a river of life. What is that river of life? What is the primary What is the Nile that runs through you that is your river of life?
I think I remember that one. It's whatever you rely on to sustain you, something like that.
Yeah, it's what gives you the maximum of satisfaction and sustenance. Mm-hmm. For me, it was intelligence. Mm-hmm. Intelligence was my river of life.
Man, so you were bankrupt from the beginning then.
Well, of course I was. But I didn't think so, and in comparison to what I knew and what I saw, I wasn't bankrupt. But on the blind of the blind, a one-eyed man is king.
You were smarter than those other guys up there.
No, I don't know that I was smart, but I was, or intelligent, but I understood quickly. I didn't have to study things. So I was very good at the kind of work that I was doing for the government. But even before that, I could make straight A's without studying and that kind of stuff. Again, and so the whole idea of for me, you know, I don't think I'm smart anymore, but for me, the whole structure of my river of life started to fall apart when I lost the election in 1968. And then it took 3 more years for it to fully be turned into blood. And that was my river of life. For others, it's other things. And unless you want me to say what yours is, let me hear you volunteer what your river of life is.
Talked about the other morning, mine was family. It was destroyed when my parents split up.
Yeah, your family values. He was the living personification of family values.
I probably was one of the most narcissistic people.
What do you mean was?
Well, you know, if I was in the flesh, if I knew I was still alive, I'd be,
was.
I want, Pat's going to do what I want, or you can leave with follow up in the hand. Absolute narcissism. Always what Nick wants. It's always Nick's agenda. And if you don't like it, you can leave. Or if you're my friend, you don't do what I want, then you can go to hell. But it's my way or the highway. And that was, I think, the biggest river that turned the blood in December for me.
Yeah. Well, what other manifestation does that have?
Well, the one I'm daily aware of is the my wife.
Well, yeah, but the one that's that everybody else is aware of is vanity.
Oh, well, I mean, I understand now that it was like I was an empty pot walking around. Well, look at me, and I was an empty pot. There was nothing to see, but look at me. Again, you come to the place, and it wasn't intellectual. Like, I think I knew in December.
Yeah. No, I understand. No, that's good.
Yeah.
But even still, when he introduces me to his friends. And I always say, you guys must recognize, of course, that Nick's main character blessing is his humility.
and I know how all he means it, obviously, you know, and it doesn't matter. But it just doesn't matter now.
Right.
I mean, there's no skeletons in the closet. Like I tell my wife, you know, she goes, does his holy old know everything? I go, everything. The only thing he doesn't know is I pick my nose sometimes, but that's not holy. You know, other than that, I don't have any skeletons.
I was just kidding.
I gotta say this, Ole. I was the only kid that I know of, Mrs. Brown. I got the picture at home. I was in second grade, pulled the fire alarm twice. I was picking my nose in front of everybody. She thought she'd shame me. And Albert, stop picking your nose. Look at him. Look at him. He picking his nose. And I did. I'll never forget. I picked my nose, put it on the desk, and the principal came and yanked me out of the room. That was the way I was back then, all my life. Just a dumbass that had to be Nick.
All right, anybody else? Let's make these rivers of life personal.
Mine must have been my children, which turned out pretty disastrous, but I really think, looking back over it was
what about like, before children the prospect of having children was your river of life?
No, I didn't even think I wanted any, but once I'd had them, you know,
yeah.
it was like my, that was my idol. You
right.
know, I wanted my kids to be perfect. And everything was going to be just great. Of course, you know, my son committed suicide, which, and then my daughter had tons of problems, but she's doing great. But, yeah, but anyway, I think.
Do you remember what it was before? Do you remember?
Let me tell you what Holly wants me to say right now. Until we're finished here, you wait in the back room.
Thank you.
In the back room, so we're too far along to catch up.
No, you're such fine. He is a total ass.
That's fine, because I'll listen to it.
No, he's a total ass.
You're just in time for.
Well, we know that.
You're in time for confession, so you're.
Oh, confession?
No, 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 no. What we're talking about, just a 2 second catch up. The main. When we start, when the lion appeared, the lion of Judah, then he's the one that opened. The lion, as the Lamb of God, opened the seals. And the seals are these 10 plagues. They're the seals of the 7 plagues, the 7 thunders, the 7 trumpets, the 7. The seals and the plagues, they're all one thing. But anyway, so we're studying why, what are the plagues? Because the plagues of Egypt were 10 plagues. But 3 of the plagues of the 10 didn't hit. I mean, the only 3 of them hit Israel. 7 of them didn't hit Israel. So these last plagues of Revelation are what we're talking about. But right now we're talking about just the 10 plagues themselves. So the first plague is the river of life turned into blood. And so everybody's talking about what their river of life was before it turned to blood. It caused them to. So next was.
Was in great humiliation. Sharing how before my conversion in December, I thought I was, you know, I'm a Christian. I mean, I knew Jesus. I thought I knew him intimately enough. But anyway, I'm narcissistic. It's all about Nick. You know, we're friends, but Nick's agenda. You don't want my agenda. You know, do your own stuff somewhere else. And, you know, I fellowship when I feel like it. You know, I don't really need people. And that was my liberal life, my agenda, my stuff, Nick's way. And, just extremely narcissistic.
Peace was his family values until his family values fell apart when he was a teenager. Yeah. And Mary was talking about her river of life was raising perfect children. That didn't work out too well. And that's where we are. Jim, you know what your river of life was?
Police was.
Oh, intelligence. I thought I was smart enough for everything until I ran out of brains.
Well, I agree with Mary as far as later in life. I thought we were doing a great job with our kids. You know, I didn't feel like I had much success with anything else. I thought I was doing a pretty good job there. That
yeah.
Disastrous. You know? I'll say one of Mary's traits that she's had is just, you know, personality. Just she likes everybody and it shows and everybody likes her. And I mean, I've known her since I was 12 years old, but she just real.
Wow.
What's that got to do with?
Well, that's
the river of life is your, then that answers the question. Mm-hmm. Your river of life is an effect. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this negatively, okay? Your river of life is conflict avoidance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
Conflict.
Her river of life is conflict avoidance.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you understand that one. My problem is I see your river of life better than you do. So.
Of course. I mean, I think you can't see it. You know.
Okay. Well, go ahead and tell me mine.
Well, go ahead. What do you think it is?
Well, you know, I mean, it sounds, you know, like you said, you don't think you're intelligent now, but that's what you traded on, you know. And I thought I was pretty intelligent, like you. I could make good grades when I cracked the book. You know, I thought I understood things pretty well. Yeah.
No, I think that probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you also then adopted your wives.
My wife? Did you say
that? Yeah, conflict avoidance.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be. Yeah. I don't like to make a scene.
I'm the same way. I just like conflict. I like to agree. I like to be on somebody's good side. I don't like insulting people. I don't like.
But you sound so much like me.
I'm kidding. When I first got involved with this group, I told you about the similarities in our lives.
Well, no, I think that's probably. You know what your rib of life is?
I think I have too many.
Well, there's one main one.
One main one? And a river of life would be something
What gives you life? What's the most important thing that's stayed constant for your whole life?
I guess having people around, wanting to have people around. I definitely don't have that problem. I'm laughing at me because it's like I'm just.
But I think yours is the same as. I think yours is family too, family and kids. Just from what I know about you.
Well, not me.
No, I didn't say that.
I would be the one that creates the conflict.
No. I just said, but yours is. You need to have family. Kids.
Because for the longest, I was the one that would always bring them all together. No, you gotta come. No, you gotta be here.
Yeah.
And then after I was like, you know what, I'm forgetting. But.
Well.
There's just.
But you get the idea that each of these 10 plagues come against a value that we as Christ people have adopted for our own. And that's why everything, we must be out of those, all of those value systems must be gone. All right, so we get an idea of what the first one, river of life, turns into blood. Now the next plague that comes after the river of the turns to blood is the frogs. Now the frogs were the symbol of the goddess Heka, H-E-K-A. Egypt. And Heka was the goddess of success, of fertility, of success. And that's something that each one of us are born with to some degree or another. We've all adopted that as a part and parcel of our own value system. Maybe not to an extent. And we've achieved it or haven't achieved it in varying degrees, which are not important. The point of it is, It's a value system of the world. It has nothing to do with reality. Just as whatever your value system for your river of life was, it has nothing to do with God. Nor does your river your flocks. Now, what happened is in the plagues on Egypt, the frogs became so numerous that they were everywhere. They were in the ovens. They were in the bedchambers. They were everywhere. And it just totally... There's some great stories in the Talmud. But it's fundamentally, the success reveals something else. You and I are just a hunk of protoplasm. That's all we are. We're a hunk of flesh. Here's what happens. We perceive life is sex and death is separation. And so Heka was the fertility goddess, so it has something to do with sex, is our river of life. In varying degrees for people. So, but that too has to be seen as just crap. It is just something. It isn't anything that has any merit with God. Okay? Now, it's sex that gives you life. If you're a screwed up personality, like a lot of these, well, you know, you see all the ones in movies and stuff, that there's no possibility of them having sex by any normal channel, they become these monsters. And so anyway, we're just giving you a two. When we went through this before, we did it for months at a time on each one of these. So I'm just giving you a 2-second summary. All right, so that's the second plague that came upon Israel as well as upon Egypt. The third plague is lice. Now the lice for this third plague are really these. There's nothing like it in our culture, but it's the lice from the. What are you doing, Pete?
Well, I thought it was flies. I just wanted.
Flies is a fourth one, Pete.
All right.
But you're welcome to check. Don't make me not stop. But lice are these terrible sand lice, and they're microscopic, and they get in your skin, and it is just miserable. You end up hating your own flesh because it's so abhorrent. It itches so badly. It's just you scratch yourself bloody because of the sand mites. And that's why you see in many in the Arab cultures especially, that they wear these, you know, the wristbands around. Everything is covered. They're not all over, but when they attack, they're a mess. Now, what are the lice? It's caused us to hate our own flesh. And this is what the last chapter of, or the 42nd chapter of Job says. Finally, after all of the toils and troubles that Job went through, he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes." So until you hate your own flesh, then you can't move past anything else, because that will be your definition of self. Okay? So those are the first three. Now, each time when these plagues come, and the Pharaoh says, "All right, I'll let your people go." And then he forgets about it, and so that everything has to be intensified. But he doesn't forget about it. It says God is hardening his heart. So God is hardening Pharaoh's heart so that he won't let Israel go. Why? Because Israel had to be completely free of the gods that they had adopted by seeing the calamities put on those gods. Given breath to. Now, what are the gods of our culture? They're legion. But what are the primary gods? Free will. That's universal. There's no such thing as free will. The strong individualist. Well, that's the antithesis of God. The free enterprise system, well, and it's the way it's being acted out to now, that's at the expense of the poor, so you know that's not of God. Capitalism, which is a little different than free enterprise. Free, you know, it's all these things. plus there's the liberal agenda has just as many of them. But the point of it is, but the ones that are universal are fatherhood of God. God's our father. No, he's not. Brotherhood of man. That's just crazy. Just look. Jesus is his only begotten child. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to the next.
Fourth plague.
Yeah. This is when these ones now are Israel is exempt from. Israel is being kept safe from these ones and their habits, as long as they stayed in their habitations. What did you find out? Did you correct me yet?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Huh? I wanted you to correct me.
Well, because you were right, that's why I didn't correct you.
All right. The fourth plague are flies. Now, flies... Flies here are irritating. I want you to imagine the flies in Egypt, around the Nile River. I mean, they're so evil. You almost need to have an Uzi to get rid of them. And the Egyptian culture was the cleanest culture that ever existed. They even shaved their heads because they didn't want to have any kind of lice or anything. The women did too. They didn't wear wigs. Their palaces and their worship had to be spotlessly clean. Does this remind us of anybody else? Like maybe, Catholics, Episcopalians? I mean, everything had to be perfect and in order. And the people had to be behaved. You had to dress a certain way to go into to their services, just like you do today. And so the flies were the dirtiest. They had all kinds of things about flies, but they just defiled everything. And they got in everything too. They defiled every place in Egypt. The Egyptians worshiped cleanliness. This is why I used to kid Harry. This is my favorite thing to study when Harry was here, because he worshipped cleanliness, surface cleanliness. Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. They had a god to get rid of the flies. They couldn't continue their religious rites because of the defilements of the flies. So now Egypt was revealed just to be a tomb. The fifth plague was murrain. It's a fatal pestilence on cattle, perhaps caused by the flies, by the way. The bull, the cow, the calf, these were all idols in ancient Egypt. And this fatal blow upon the cattle was... It just was another hallmark on that. It's making a mockery. How would God deal with make a mockery of our value systems in this country? Well, just look what he did with, the banking system a couple of years ago. I mean, it's just crazy. All right. This is going to take all night. The sixth plague was boils. Now, what happened now? Pharaoh went down to his... if you believe the Talmud, he went down the Nile to his other palace, which was back down toward the southern kingdom. And it was, his palace was right on the Nile. And he caused there to be burnt offerings of human beings because the plagues were starting, the blood and finally the rain and the cattle was starting to get to him. And so in dire circumstances, they offered human sacrifice in Egypt. And it doesn't say whether they sacrificed a virgin, but it was some kind of human sacrifice anyway. But then the ashes from that, what happened was, Moses followed him down there. He took a handful of those ashes and threw them in the sky. And that became the boils on all of them, man and beast. It's to show Israel that we are there at our best are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Whole idea of dressing up and all that is just a joke to God. Amen?
Amen.
The seventh plague is hail. Now, some of these stones, if you believe the Exodus, there were some of them were as large as 90. As one talent, and that's 97 pounds. And the hailstones that were mingled with fire, because when hailstones are that big, they cause this weird action to go on in the atmosphere where it creates the appearance of fire around them, which can really set things on fire. Huh?
Friction.
Yeah.
That really happens, huh?
Yeah. The purpose of hail is to sweep away our refuge of lies. I mean, just think of how much of our own identity is based on lies. And the point is, any covering you have, whether it's a family or a government or money, whatever it is, whatever is your covering, you need to leave that covering and get under the covering of God Himself, not your job, your family. The eighth plague is the locusts. Locusts can cover 100 square miles. It can be 10 billion at any given time. They move as one. Locusts are really just regular grasshoppers. They get too close together, and when they get too close together, they rub their legs together like this, and they become locusts. They transformed into locusts. And the locusts move as one mind, and they consume everything in their path. And it would take a fool not to see that the human race are the locusts. We consume everything in our path. They destroy faster than fire. Isaiah, well, it's all over the place. It says it all over, that inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. Or in Psalm 22, where it says, I am a worm, that's one of the stages of the locust. After heavy rains, regular grasshoppers turn into locusts by touching each other with their legs. Causes a change from green to black and red. It shows that Adama, or Adam, was an all-consuming, self-seeking.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Rutledge got there was a special on focus, and they had him in the lab, in the science lab, and he did the experiment where he took a pen and rubbed it against the legs of the grasshopper, and the grasshopper metamorphized, however you say the word correctly, into this locust, and he demonstrated how that that happened. I mean, they demonstrated in the lab, and then they showed all these pictures of locust plagues in Africa, and a few have happened in America on a minor scale, and it's a great video. I mean, if we can get it, I'll try to get it.
Yeah, that is just too weird.
It's real creepy.
Now, the god Serapis was a specific god with his own temples, and his job was to protect Egypt from locusts.
I'm going to ask one more question.
And the temples, the temple, the Serapis was invaded by locusts, to make it a joke. Huh?
May I ask you one more question?
What? Ask who?
How quickly did it change from a grasshopper to a locust?
Like hours.
Just like a few hours.
Yeah, I have seen
some of the
times. It took a while.
So at the same time that it morphed into a locust, obviously there's a behavior change that accompanies that.
They appear more menacing. It really is kind of bizarre.
Yeah. That's weird.
Well, their main change is they move as one, in one the same direction. Hmm. Other than that color change. Pharaoh's servants then said unto him, Exodus 10, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the people go, that they may serve their Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? The officers told him, just as people have told us, but we must experience experientially. Pharaoh makes a series, well then he makes a series of meaningless confessions, admits to mistakes, etc. And he says, now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And repents of the world. And the Lord turned a mighty stirring, strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. In the ninth plague, darkness, obviously directed against the sun god Ra. But this was a darkness that could be felt. And the only places there was light in all of Egypt was in the houses of Israel. There was a light in each of the house, symbolically the light of Christ. It's the horror of great darkness it's the same darkness, the horror of great darkness that Abraham experienced. The hours of darkness when Christ was crucified. It's when a Jew becomes apostate, he's cast into outer darkness. That's considered, and that's not like out in the Netherlands. That just means he's considered a Gentile, which to them was being outer darkness. Darkness reveals our hate. That's the main thing. It reveals our two things. Darkness, the plague of darkness reveals our hates and our fears. But darkness, but Jesus, it's God says he will make darkness light before us. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Darkness is confusion, doubt, immobilization. And then finally, the tenth plague. Death of the firstborn. And since you're the firstborn, Christ is in you as a second born, and it's your death and your acceptance of that death with everything in you. And now, when we come, now we can look at the plagues and see their corresponding meaning from the plagues of Egypt. Okay, when we get to the plagues of Revelation, that the lion opened the seal, the lion of Judah, Leo, the lion.
Now, are you going to talk about that tonight or for next week? You said that we would also discuss whether the bride is going to be exempted from these plagues in these days.
We're not going to talk about it tonight. But she's protected. Because to the bride, none of this seems like a plague. The other thing we have to do, and because when you get into Revelation, it's a predicate, is that you seem to should understand this, is you have to have at least a modicum of understanding of the offerings. If you don't know that there's a trespass offering, or if you don't know that there's waters of purification, then there's a trespass offering, and then there's a sin offering, and then there's et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then a lot of the stuff in Revelation won't make any sense. And so, I think we're going to finish Leo before we go into all that, though.
Okay.
All right. But in order to understand Revelation, it's important. First of all, you have to understand the stars, because there's so many references to the stars in Revelation that otherwise you just make goofy little interpretations that don't mean anything. Anybody have any thoughts?
Stuff.
Where can we get the information on the offerings, or are you going to talk about that? So that we'll go.
I'll have to talk about it.
Okay.
Are you going to put the offerings up?
The archived tapes will be up on the internet at some point.
It took me 3 years to go through the book of Leviticus, which is the offerings. And it's something else. It shows, if you think of Jesus Christ as a nuclear reactor, say. All you know is that you get electricity out the other end, but you don't know what happens. How it's done, but in the book of the offerings, it shows it cuts up Christ into little pieces so that you can see how that he has by one offering perfected you forever. That's the purpose of the offerings. So it cuts up Christ into chewable pieces, if I could forgive me for that simile.
See, the Holy Father, saying the Holy told me something today that I've been badgering only about Romans. I didn't know. I knew what I was taught. Christ died on the cross for my sins. I mean, that's all. And I'm thinking, yeah, but what when he died for me, but what when I sin? How'd that work? And Oli said, well, Oli, tell what you told me.
Well, the sin offering is your death and his death. But that's the sin offering, the death offering. But his blood is for the trespass offering. We're cleansed. The blood of Christ doesn't do Adam any good, doesn't do the world any good, because Adam's dead. It only does his people. And the blood cleanses us from all trespass or unrighteousness. So you're free. You're just, the moment you see this, I'm wrong. Forgive me, Father.
Have you talked about the water?
No, this is, I got it. This time to quit, I could tell everything about the start.